Today on News in Depth, we're speaking with Raul from the Portland General Defense Committee. The group has established a protest bail fund to help support those who have been arrested as a result of ongoing protests against police brutality and racial justice. Let's listen. Would you mind introducing yourself?
My name is Raul. I'd really only rather give my first name if that's okay.
That's totally fine.
Yeah, I'm a member of the Portland General Defense Committee. So we're an organization that does service work for folks in the activist community here in Portland. And I've been a member for a little bit over a year at this point, I believe.
Can I ask, how did you start getting involved with the Portland General Defense Committee?
So I had been doing sort of activist work and other types of work in the community for immigrant rights stuff and tenant stuff and like labor rights stuff for quite some time in different organizations. And, you know, like many of us during sort of the Trump administration saw the need for organizations to receive support, like the General Defense Committee that does sort of anti-repression and, legal support stuff for activists. So saw that as like a really important opportunity and reached out to them and sort of went through our process and yeah.
Cool. So at the end of May, the Portland General Defense Committee established the PDX Protest Bail Fund to cover bail and legal expenses for protesters. Can you tell me about how that came about?
Yeah, so we have been doing legal support and jail support for some time in partnership with the local chapter of the National Lawyers Guild. What that means is we generally meet up with defendants after they have been arrested post protest or in actions related to activism. And we'll provide them support with bail funds, so to get them out of jail. We'll provide them with legal support funds. We'll try and provide them with or other material things that happen and are in need for folks who get arrested, like sometimes your phone breaks or you have any number of issues that would come about and in the process of being arrested. And so we decided that it was a really important thing to sort of utilize our expertise with in the local area and mobilize really quickly to support folks who may have been arrested. And we saw that, yes, there's been a ton of people who in the last few weeks have been arrested because of their activity in protests.
Yeah, so for the fund, what has been the public response to that?
You know, it's been really, really, really overwhelming in a positive way. It's really incredible how folks have been dedicated to not only supporting the local bail fund, but across the country we're seeing bail funds kind of pop up with groups who have a ton of experience, don't have a ton of experience, but either way are really activated and mobilized to support one another. And so it's been overwhelmingly positive. I think we have seen sort of like since COVID started, a huge interest in folks sort of leading community-based efforts to support one another. And I think this is just part of that trend, right? Like I think are realizing that we have to rely on one another in order to sort of make it through our daily lives, and especially in challenges like having, you know, police arresting activists and people who are just exercising their freedom of expression. And so we think it's really key and have felt really, really positive about the response.
Yeah. So I know you used the platform GoFundMe to gather those donations, and I understand there was some difficulty with that site and the fundraiser. Can you tell me about that?
Yeah, so basically there are some thresholds that get triggered Both, we're a 501c4 nonprofit organization, so we have a special tax designation. So we are like an on paper, formal group of folks. We have a board. We have, we have organizational structure, but I think with the history of sort of social movements and things going viral, there was probably some good faith reporting and also some bad faith reporting on the part of like political opponents and folks who wanted to stop this sort of work. And so GoFundMe received a ton of reports of fraud. And so basically what we had to do is jump through some additional hoops to prove that it was not in fact fraudulent and we are in fact doing work that we say we're doing. So I believe it's either in the process of being sorted out or it is sorted out. But what we did in the meantime is we had organizational funds that we have just raised from dues that members pay, and also fundraising that we've done in the time that we've been doing this work to sort of cover the costs of releasing folks when we've been able to. And I have sort of that information. There have been folks, 104 folks who have been sort of released on their own, 41 folks who have been bailed out by either us or someone else, 12 folks who received sort of a pretrial release, 3 folks released by the court, and 11 folks that we haven't been able to bail out, that we would bail out if we could, for any number of reasons, so financial, legal, whatever. And then one person who is a neo-Nazi who we will not be providing bail funds for.
Gotcha. I was sort of curious about that. So, when that GoFundMe money comes through, if there's, I suppose, an excess of funds devoted to bail that doesn't end up needing to be used by the protesters in this particular movement, where do those funds end up going?
Yeah, so we're actually working really closely. We wanted to be really cognizant and transparent about this sort of stuff because we know that there's a lot of reluctance for people to sort of give money when they either don't know the organization or don't know the folks involved. We are a queer-led organization, but the majority of the membership is actually white. I am one of the few non-white members. There's a couple other folks in the GDC who are not white. That's a majority white organization. And so we felt that it was super, super important to get into contact with folks that are Black-led organizations. And right now, I don't actually want to say the names of the folks that we're working with because that has not been finalized. But we have every intention to any sort of funds that are not used for bail funds. And this is in the GoFundMe description, I believe, as well. We're working really hard to disperse those to the community and to folks who are most impacted by police violence, and that would be Black folks in the community. So we're working really hard to do that, and yeah, we're in the process of figuring that out. It's really unclear because the way sort of protest season, quote unquote, works is people start coming out. This movement could go on for months, right? We have no idea how long it'll be going for. So it's really hard to say when if we will have leftover funds because it can very quickly be gapped up through the legal system, which is just sort of a testament to how difficult it is if folks aren't involved, and there isn't a community behind protest movements. So if there isn't sort of support for this stuff, it can really leave people really vulnerable and sort of, present them with tons of preemptive charges, things that we see to sort of discourage people from participating in First Amendment protected speech. So we really, really want to reinvest in the community if there is anything left over. And we also want to be mindful that it's very possible that all this money will get sucked up in defending protesters, right? Like this has only been going on for a couple of weeks. And there's been hundreds or close to hundreds of people arrested, and we don't see any signs of that slowing up anytime soon.
Yeah, and I guess sort of philosophically to what you were saying just a moment ago, can you speak to like more generally what the importance of establishing a protest bail fund is?
Yeah, so I think what is super important, right, is if anyone in the audience listening has been to a protest, it can be really easy to get caught up in the chaos. It can be really easy to like go there with any sort of intention, you know, to like participate in any sort of way. And law enforcement sort of indiscriminately will often just pick people up, right? You are just guilty for being there. And what ends up happening is if folks are, you know, members of marginalized identities, if they're black, if they're queer, if they're indigenous, if they're of any sort of identity that the state criminalizes, what ends up happening is folks will have those charges be trumped up and receive sort of the full brunt of the justice system, right? And what that can be incredibly traumatic, right? It can mean sitting in jail for a super long time. It can mean you know, being caught up in court or being pressured to take a plea deal to something that you did, to a crime that you didn't commit, right? And so what we know is that legal support systems really help to take the pressure off of people who may have done nothing wrong, right? Like may have done absolutely nothing morally or legally wrong, but are under the pressure of the state to admit to wrongdoing, or are just being targeted for who they are. And so those things, I think, speak to how important it is for community to step up and to show up for folks who are on the front lines of making changes in our society, right? Like, we truly believe that activism and showing up in the street is a really important way to move the needle on, you know, much needed changes in our society. And in order to protect that, we need to have resources to protect that.
Well said. Raul, do you have any final thoughts before we wrap up today?
Yeah, so I would really encourage people to, if you are going to go to protests, to please be safe. Please wear a mask. Please, you know, if you're showing any COVID symptoms, stay home and support folks however you can. To plug in to local Black-led organizations, there are a number that are very easily searchable, and just try and materially support them as much as possible. And if you have contact with law enforcement, or if you're arrested at a protest, please reach out to the Portland GDC. Our at on Instagram and I believe on Twitter is at PDXGDC. And you can find our contact information to our website and our phone number. So you're free to call us or text us, shoot us an email if you ever have any issues that you want to discuss.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for talking with us today.
Yeah, of course. Thank you.
That was Raul with the Portland General Defense Committee. More information about the organization can be found online at pdxgdc.com. For KBOO News In Depth, I'm Althea Billings.